been pondering on this message, probably bits and pieces of it, for a good couple of weeks, I know. And so here and there, sometimes I'd go back and I didn't know what to study on. I'd go back to this and read a little bit of that and try to get something out of it. And as far as I know, it's the only thing I've got this morning, so this is where the Lord would have us to go with this. And if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 3. I happened upon this, like I said, a couple weeks ago, and it really caught my eye about this verse, these couple verses here. It talks about John the Baptist in this book, in this chapter here. It begins talking about him and how he became the forerunner of Jesus Christ, and how his message was a little different back in those days than what they were used to. Let's go ahead and start in, let's see here, which one do I want to start in? Let's go to verse 7 here. It says here in verse 7 of Luke chapter 3, "Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come." This is important, these next couple of verses. "Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cast into the fire." And that's as far as we're going to read in that little portion. We've got a few more verses to read, the Lord being our helper this morning. But if I had a thought this morning, the one that keeps coming to my mind, the one that keeps coming to my heart, is the case about an identity crisis. And John here tells these people, you know, even Jesus encountered some of the Pharisees and some of the scribes and Sadducees. They always had an excuse that Abraham was their father, and that's who they followed, and that's who they were. Their law, their doctrines was based upon Moses, and they quote Abraham. But Jesus looked at them before, he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Amen. And they thought he was blasphemy because he was equating himself with God, because he said that in the beginning of time, before Abraham arrived on the scene, Jesus was there. He said he called himself the Son of God, the Son of Man. Just this week, we got done watching a little play put on by a bunch of homeschool kids. I had to be about 150 of them on this stage, and it was called Touched by the King. Amen. They really portrayed the Pharisees in that play really well. There was two of them. Amen. That was what you call the comedic relief, because they were really exaggerating about the law and different things like that. And it was really interesting to watch their interpretation of how things were back in Israel in those days. But the Pharisees were exaggerating a lot of different things. If you didn't wash your hands, amen, you were committing a sin. Or if you washed your hands on the Sabbath day, you were committing sin. All these different things we read about in the Bible, and we don't realize, you know, a lot of times they're taking the law and stretching it to the extreme of their tradition. Amen. Their tradition was, well, we have Abraham, and we're supposed to be circumcised like Abraham was. But John here said, don't say within yourself, we have Abraham. Don't rely on Abraham like you always have. You know, what you need to do is bring forth fruits meet for repentance. Amen. It's not Abraham that needs to be worried about. Amen. It's your own soul and your own salvation. Amen. It's what you do, what you bring to the table. Amen. That's going to be key as far as your relationship with you and the Lord. He says, don't bring the subject of Abraham up. Because he said, God is able, even though the stones that are around us, he was there baptizing in Jordan. He said, look at all the stones that be around us. He said, God is even able to raise up stones, amen, unto Abraham as children. I thank God today. God, Peter said that ye are as lively stones, amen. And I'm glad today that God did raise up another generation of people. Amen. He grafted us in the Gentiles. Amen. He was able to see fit. Amen. To make me and you worthy to be a part of the kingdom today. Amen. People that were just as bad as dogs. Amen. He had a plan for me and you. Amen. Before the foundation of the very world. He said, don't think about Abraham. Amen. It's not between you and Abraham. It's between you and God. And how God sees your fruit. Amen.
Amen.
They had a case of identity crisis. Amen. For the longest time, you know, verse 9 there talks about the root being, the axe being laid to the root. To me, it seems kind of out of context. It just kind of changes key there. Amen. As if you was in a song and you changed to a different key, went on a different path altogether. And then I began to read that last couple of weeks, and all of a sudden it just stood out to me what that verse means. He had just told them not to think about Abraham, amen. Not to say that we have Abraham, our father, to rely on. He said, you know why? Because that root, that tree, has all been cut down.
Yeah.
Amen. He said the root has been, the axe has been laid to the root. Amen. Let's read that again. Now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. What's he saying there? He said the fruit, the tree of Abraham, no longer stands. It's been cut down. Amen. Now the tree that matters is your tree of yourself. Amen. The fruit that you bring forth, hey, is what's going to matter in the sight of God. He said, bring forth fruit, meet for repentance. He said, don't rely on Abraham. Abraham's tree is cut down. Now it's between you and God. Amen. Your salvation is between you and God. Amen. Alone. And then Jesus became the great high priest. He became, in the very first verses of these Gospels here, he began to set up everything that had happened before. The temple, the tabernacle, the sacrifices, the high priest, everything was a type of what was to come and who Christ was to be in flesh on this earth. John the forerunner, he begins to pave the old way behind and make a new way. And that way is Christ. Before he even arrives on the scene, he begins to pave the way for Christ. And he begins to say, don't rely on Abraham. Hey, it's between you and God now. Amen. You are the tree, amen, that God looks at. And your fruit, amen, is important to him. Bring forth fruit to meet for repentance. I think if we talked about Cain and Abel just a minute ago, I think about Cain and Abel, how Abel offered the best of his sheep, gave the best that he had, and then Cain come back behind him. And he offered just a little bit of the field that he had. He didn't have fruit that pleased the Lord. He didn't have something, amen, that pleased the Lord. He didn't give his best. He didn't give what God was requiring. And amen, he told him that. And because of that, Cain got jealous of his brother and slew Abel.
Yeah.
And these Pharisees didn't like this one bit, all this stuff that John was having to say. This, to them, this was a new doctrine. Before the Old Testament, as far as I know, they never did baptism. John was the first one to introduce it. It was completely new. It was this man going in the river and dunking people in the water. Amen. It doesn't make any sense. Amen. And then he did the same thing to Jesus. Jesus was baptized. Amen. As a picture of the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. Amen. The outward, amen, confession of an inward change. That's what baptism is all about. So, you know, Jesus, like I said, he told him before Abraham was, I am.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus, the plan of salvation was laid before the foundation of the world. Think about that for a second. Amen. Before God even created the world, before the earth was out form and void, before the Bible even begins in Genesis 1-1, Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit existed together.
Amen.
And we know that in many places, in Colossians and a lot of the other places, especially in Paul's writing, he begins to talk about before the foundation of the world, the plan of salvation was instituted. Before God even made the earth, he knew that the earth would fall.
Right.
He knew what would happen. I mean, you say, why did he let it happen? Amen. You know, he knew what would happen in the long run. He knew those that would love him and would follow him. Amen. If God was to force everybody to worship him and to follow him, he'd have a bunch of robots.
Yeah.
Amen. We wouldn't serve him of our own self. We wouldn't serve him with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen. He wouldn't really have people to love him with all their heart. It's our choice, ultimately. Amen. If we want to make heaven our home, if we want to follow the Lord, or if we want to follow the devil. Amen. That's just as plain as it gets, but it's true. And it said this morning, I believe it was Sister Cora that said, he that's not for us is against us. Jesus said, he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Hey, there is no gray, there's no in between. You're either for the Lord or you're against the Lord. And the Lord will judge as such in the final days. Amen.
Yeah.
But Jesus has always existed. He was before the foundation of the world. I believe it's the words in the Bible said he was slain before the foundation of the world. Isn't it wonderful to know that you got a God that knows despite your very best efforts, he knows you're going to fall. But because of that, amen, he sent his son to die on the cross that you might have a way to get back to God.
Yeah.
Amen. We were cast out of the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. Amen. They were cast out of the garden when they disobeyed God, when they took of that fruit. And listen to that old serpent, the devil. Amen. Amen. God knew in the beginning, even prophesied in the beginning. Amen. That God had made that the serpent would bruise his heel, but he would bruise his head.
Yeah.
Stomp him into the ground and to overcome death, hell, and grave, and Satan himself. Amen. God knew in the beginning, amen, before the foundation of the world, amen, that when me and you would be led astray, amen, by the devil, we'd be cast off forever, but we'd have a way back because of the bridge that Christ made. Christ on this earth was a carpenter, amen, and he built a bridge back to heaven. Praise God. Amen. We find out in Hebrews chapter 13, I'm going to take my time just a little bit. There's a couple of verses here I want to get into that has to do with, amen, the pre-existent Christ. Amen. Before he was on this world, before the world was made, he was in the heaven, amen, with the Father. Hebrews 13 and 8. Amen. Says, Jesus Christ, the same today, and the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Just one verse. He has always been. Amen. I believe it's in Revelation where we very first started that book. He said, I am the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last. I am Alpha and Omega. Before Him there was nothing else. Amen. He has always existed with the Father. Turn back a couple pages. Hebrews 7, verse 3. Amen. It says, He was just like the king of Melchizedek. He said He was without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now Christ is compared to Melchizedek in these same qualities, amen. And he says in verse 25 that he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for him. Amen. Melchizedek here, if you go and study about him and how his interaction was with Abraham, it talks about that he didn't have descent. There was no record of his birth. There was no record of his death. He just appeared on the scene and all of a sudden, you know, he's gone just as quickly as he appeared. And just like Christ, he didn't have an origin. Amen. He's always been. Amen. Christ has always been before the foundation of the world even became to happen. Christ was the plan of salvation. Amen. Back in Micah, a couple more verses here I'll go to. Micah chapter 5, verse 2 says, But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth hath been from old, from everlasting. Amen. Christ has been from everlasting. Amen. His work has been from everlasting. He's always been. God, just like you said, Brother Mike, this morning, God is in control, people. Amen. We see everything going on in this world today, but we forget that God has been here before the world was even created. He'll be after the world ends. Amen. He's going to be here, amen, from time into eternity. Amen. He's always been, always will be. Amen. If we're born again, and He's made a way that we can be with Him, amen, when the day is over. Amen. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is Christ. Amen. The Word in the Bible, especially since it's capitalized here, it refers to a proper person. Amen. The Word is Christ. We read on down that the Word became flesh. That is Christ. Amen. Before the world was even formed, the Word existed. John chapter 17, verse 5, even a little bit more evidence here. It says in verse 5, And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was.
Yeah.
Amen. Christ even confessing, amen, when he goes to pray to the Lord. John chapter 17 is the great Lord's Prayer. Amen. That he prays for the world and his disciples. And he prays to God, glorify me as I was with thee before the world even was. Even Peter testified to the fact, amen, that Christ has always been. In 1 Peter, amen, chapter 1, verse 20. He says, Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. He talked about that you were not redeemed with such, amen, things as corruptible things as silver and gold, a couple of verses before this, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Foreordained, in other words, he was ordained to be the sacrifice before, foreordained, before the world was even in place. God had a plan. Amen. I'm glad God still got a plan. Amen. No matter what goes on in the world today, God has still got a plan. Amen. And I don't care about the government's plan. I don't care what kind of plan they institute. I want to see God's plan come into effect. Amen. And the verse I told you about earlier, John chapter 8, amen, verse 58. Let's turn there real quick, and that's the last one I'll go to for right now. John chapter 8, verse 58. Amen. Let's go up a couple of verses. Let's go chapter the same chapter, verse 24. Actually, 53. Art thou greater than our father Abraham? Now, they're going back to Abraham again. Which is dead. John chapter 8, 53. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. If it is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God, ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Amen. Abraham saw Christ. He saw the day of Christ coming, and he rejoiced and was glad. Whether he knew it or not, he was blessed to see that would never expire, that would be countless, just like the sands of the sea, amen, and the stars of heaven. Out of him a nation will be blessed, amen, if that's where Christ came from, and that's what he's referring to here. Then the Jews said to him, art thou not 50 years old? And hast thou seen Abraham? You're a whippersnapper, and you're claiming to see Abraham? Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. You see, before Abraham was, Christ was. Pharisees had a case of, amen, identity crisis. They identified themselves with Abraham, but the time of Abraham and the law had passed. Jesus came to fulfill all that, and now we look to him for salvation. Not to circumcision, not to the law, not to any other work that man can do, but the work that Christ fulfilled, amen, when he died on the cross, was buried in the tomb and resurrected on the third day. That is the gospel, friends. And that is what we preach this morning. That's what we thank God for. I tell you, a man that had a case of identity crisis, and that was the man named Paul. Amen. His name was Saul before he was changed to Paul. Amen. In Philippians over here, I like his account that he gives of who he was and who he used to be. Then who he's become, most of all. Philippians chapter 3. I'm just going to read a little bit here, starting at the first verse. Look at Paul's credentials here. Look at his qualifications for who he was. Finally, my brethren, Philippians 3, verse 1, rejoice in the Lord to write the same things to you, to me, indeed is not grievous, for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. The concision are those who preach circumcision, and those that are heaped in their traditions. Because in the very next verse, he kind of rebuts that. He says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit. He says you don't have to be circumcised like Abraham was. Amen. Circumcision and uncircumcision availeth nothing but a new creature. Amen. He says in another place of his writing, but he says you're circumcised in the heart. That's where circumcision comes. That circumcision was an act, a physical act, but it represented a covenant between God and man. Amen. He said we are in covenant with God if we're in the Spirit with Him. And rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Now here's his credentials. I was circumcised the 8th day. I was of the stock of Israel. I was of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, I was a Pharisee. I was a scholar in the law. Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. And touching righteousness, which is in the law, I was blameless according to the law. But we know that the law was fault. Hebrews tells us about that. I was everything. I was perfect, in other words, concerning the law. But that didn't matter when Christ came on the scene. But notice this. He says, my identity. This is important. Listen closely. That identity that I identified with, that person that I used to be. In verse 7, I counted it all as loss. What things were gained to me, those I counted as loss and traded it out for Christ. He said, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss. Why? For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He said, I've cast off the former person. The old man is gone. He's dead. I've crucified the flesh. That I may win Christ. That I may know Him more. That I may know about the excellency, amen, of His power and His knowledge. Amen, of the power of the resurrection. I might be a partaker of the resurrection from the dead. He said, that was far much worth more to me, amen, than any person I used to be. Amen. A lot of people today are going by their credentials of who they think they are. Amen. I give to the poor. I do my tithes. Amen. But what did he tell the Pharisee over there? Amen. He told them that the Pharisee and the publican, the Pharisee began to say, I pay my tithes. I thank God that I'm not like this publican. Amen. I do all these wonderful things. I attend Sabbath days. I go all these, do all these things. Amen. But in his heart, God knew his heart. And the publican was way far off from the Pharisee. Amen. He smote his breast about his head and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Amen. Don't look at my status. Don't look at my job. Don't look at all the credentials I've amassed for myself. Amen. Look on the inside of my heart. Amen. And recognize me as I am. I want a new identity in Christ. I want to be able to say I'm one of His. Amen. That I could lose everything else that I've gained that I might have Him. He is the prize that Philippians goes on to say, the prize of Christ. I press toward the mark for the high calling of the prize of Christ. Amen. I'm glad today that we got a prize that we could attain. Amen. If we just change our identity. Amen. And not associate with that old man, that old former lifestyle. But, amen. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. The old all things are passed away. All things become new. Yeah. Amen. I think of Paul here. Amen. He was willing to give it all. Amen. That he might win Christ. But there is another young gentleman in the Bible. Amen. We really know who he is. We're familiar with his story. Amen. And he is called the rich young ruler in the Bible in Luke chapter 18. Hey, if you want to follow along, it said in Luke chapter 18, verse 18, amen, we find a young little ruler here that comes to Jesus and asks him a question. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, Luke 18:18, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God.
Right.
Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these I have kept up from my youth. I think of Paul. Paul said, I was blameless. I was perfect in the law. That's what this man is claiming. I was perfect. I'm perfect. I kept everything that the law required. But what we've learned in the very first part, amen, it's not the law that counts. It's the fruit that the trees bear. Amen. That fruit is me and you. Not the fruit of Abraham, not the fruit of David, not the fruit of Moses. Amen. That's our relationship with Christ. He said, I've kept these from my youth up. In verse 22, now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, and in another place, another gospel, it said he saw his heart and he loved him. I love that. Amen. He loved him anyway, even though he knew who he was. He said to him, yet thou lackest one thing. How sad it is to miss heaven for one thing. sell all thou hast and distribute unto the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. When Jesus saw he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of heaven? For it is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, I don't believe Jesus was harping on riches necessarily. Abraham was a rich man. Jacob was a rich man. Amen. A lot of people in Israel were rich people. You have kings of Israel, they were rich. God blessed them with some of those things. It wasn't the money that was the problem. It was his attachment to that money. And also, he told them, you know what you got to do? Amen. Think of it this way. He said, you got to change your identity.
Yeah.
Amen. You're a very rich young ruler. You've obeyed the law. You've done all these things. But if you want to follow me, amen, you must become a new creature. You must be born again, he told Nicodemus. Nicodemus couldn't understand. Jesus was saying all it is you got to switch identities. Amen, you got to have a new identity in Christ. A lot of people today got identity crisis.
Yeah.
They don't know who they are. They don't know where they're going or coming. And they need to change their identity. And Christ is the only one that can do that, amen. Amen. He told him, he said he was sorrowful. Amen. Because he was very rich, he turned away all that Christ was offering him. He told him basically, sell all you have. Hey, turn over a new slate. Have a clean slate. Start over fresh. I'm glad that God gives us an opportunity. Amen. To start again.
Amen.
Amen. We fall down. God picks us back up. We fall down. God picks us back up. Amen. I'm glad that he is there to rescue those in trouble. Amen. David said, I've been old, and I've been young, and I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He said, I cried to the Lord, and the Lord delivered me out of all my troubles. Amen. We have Christ, amen, as our advocate with the Father. Amen. Amen. Somebody we can turn to, and if we walk in the light as His and the light, we have fellowship with Him, and the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin. And that is a fact. That is a promise in the Word of God. And I'm glad today He told the rich young ruler, you could be clean, you could have a new slate today, you could start fresh. But he was too engaged with the world. Amen. Just like Israel, they had an opportunity to go forth, but instead they looked back to Egypt. Amen. And they rambled in the desert for 40 years, not realizing what they could achieve. One last thing, and I close with this. Amen. Just a few pages before that, in Luke chapter 15, we read of a young man, amen, who wanted all his living from his father. He wanted his inheritance before his father even died. Probably something unheard of back in those days. I'm not sure. I haven't really looked it up. Amen. But his father was willing to do that. He gave him his inheritance. He gave him his portion. Hey, we find the young man going down, down, down. He keeps getting worse. Amen. He goes to a city, amen, finds him a place. Amen. And spends all he has, and he has to hire himself to become a hired servant. Amen. And he goes down, and it gets so bad, he finds himself in an old hog pen, having to eat from their husks. Amen. That was the former self. That was the identity he had had. But up until that point, amen, when he finally came to himself, amen, he had an identity change. Amen. Amen. He became a new creature, and he said, I'll go back to the Father's house. I won't be a young whippersnapper anymore. I won't be one of the royal family. I'll be a servant if that's what it takes. I want to change my identity. I want to have a new identity with the Father. And he went back, and his father, seeing him a great way off. Thank God that God is looking a great way off for you.
Yeah.
Amen. Before he even got to the field, amen, the father was already looking for him.
Yeah.
Amen. He saw him a great way off, and he ran to him. He fell down on his neck and kissed him and said, yay, let's rejoice. My son which was lost is found, and he's back home.
Yeah.
Go kill the fatted calf. Let's eat and be merry. Let's celebrate one that's come along. Amen. That's like what happens in heaven. Amen. Angels rejoice when one lost soul comes to Christ. Amen. This young man had an identity crisis. But thank God he made a decision. I'm going to change identities. I'm going to become a new creature. Amen. I'm not going to think about the way I used to be. I'm not going to rely on my own traditions. Amen. Jesus told the men, He said, the Pharisees, you have, by your traditions, amen, you have neglected the Word of God and what God really meant in the law. Today, people all over the world need an identity change. Amen. We worry about mistake. We worry about identity theft. Amen. I don't think it's identity theft we need to worry about. It's identity crisis. Amen. We need a new identity. A lot of us need a new identity in the world today. Amen. Maybe you've been saved. Hey, if things have got so bad, you just still don't know who you are. Amen. You don't know what happened so bad. Amen. That changed your relationship and your walk with God. Amen. And maybe you need to come and say, God, I need some help. I need an identity change this morning. If that's you, let's all stand. If that's you, as she comes to place a verse or two, just as I am. Amen. If that's you and you say, God, I don't know what I'm doing, who I am. Amen. I've somehow got strayed away. I need an identity change. Hey, would you come and make that decision today? That's between you and God. Don't rely on Abraham. Don't rely on your grandma. Don't rely on your grandpa. Don't rely on your daddy, your mama. Amen. It's between you and God. Are you going to bring forth fruits for repentance? What is your fruit going to be when God sees the tree? Is it going to be a bunch of dried up figs? Amen. He was on the fig tree and he cursed the fig tree, said, don't bear fruit anymore forever. Because it hadn't bore fruit more than that time. Amen. People wonder why he expected to have fruit. Hey, it was at a season. It was a time for it to have fruit. Hey, you know why? Because he could come at any moment. In the blink of an eye, Jesus could be here right now. Are you serious with the Lord? Amen. When it's time for him to judge, when it's time, when all is said and done, it'll be up to him. Amen. When that time comes, it won't be up to me and you. The important point is we've learned in Revelation today. Not only that God is in control, but it's to be ready. Any point in time, be ready. I referenced Matthew 24 earlier. You go on past that to Matthew 25. You'll read about the five foolish and the five wise virgins. Five of them were ready when the bridegroom knocked. When he came and called his bride, and five of them were left out in the dark. The door was shut and never be opened again. I don't know about you, but I want to be on the inside. When that door, our ark of safety closes. Would there be anybody that needs to come? We ain't going to tarry much longer. I'll leave you a moment for your thoughts in silence to be thinking and talking it over with the Lord.